Good day, this is Miss Nugent, interviewing today with Mr. William Slater, visiting author for SAMS. Mr. Slater, the first question we'd like to ask you today is, when you first started writing professionally, what was your inspiration?
My first inspiration was that I always liked to write. I started writing when I was 6 years old, and I loved writing stories for school, and I always wrote weird stories, and it was just something I always liked to do. And when I was a senior in college, I met some people who were writing professionally children's books, and I saw that it was possible to make a living that way, and so I did it. But I suppose you could say that my major inspirations were my English teachers, because they were very good at teaching writing, and we did a lot of writing in school, and we also learned a lot about rewriting. So I was thinking about one English teacher in particular when I wrote my first book, and interestingly enough, although she was pretty old, she lived long enough to read my first novel, and that made me feel really good.
Mr. Slater, why did you become a writer when you originally wanted to compose music?
Well, the fact is that I always liked to do both. I always liked to write as well as to compose music. And it just so happened that I didn't get very many jobs composing music. I did it in school. When I worked as a rehearsal pianist for the ballet company, I did compose three ballets that were performed by the company. Guess how much money I made for writing those ballets? Zero. Guess how much money I made when I signed the contract for my first novel a long, long time ago? $2,000. So it just didn't make sense to try to make it as a composer instead of a writer, because I was making money from writing and I was not making money from composing. And you kind of have to have money in order to live. So maybe that's why I started writing instead of composing.
Are readers supposed to read your book The Boxes first or your book Marcos's Millions first? That's been quite a debate at SAMS.
Well, I wrote The Boxes first, but Marcos's Millions takes place before The Boxes. When I wrote Marcos's Millions, however, I did it in such a way that you could read the books in either order, and it would still make sense. But I still think that, I guess I'd say, I prefer people to read The Boxes first, even though it happens after Marcos's Millions. Then Marcos's Millions is like a flashback explaining how Uncle Marco got these magical boxes. And there may be a third book in the series, and it's going to be called Mad Martha, because those of you who read Marcos's Millions know that he stole a box from his crazy Aunt Martha, and she's not happy about that. So if I write, my editor lets me, I want to write Mad Martha next.
Your science fiction and fantasy books are real exciting, but have you ever thought about writing other genres?
Well, the first novel I wrote, which was published in 1972, and its title is Blackbriar, was not fantasy or science fiction. It was a gothic novel about sort of a haunted house in England. And over the course of the years, I've written other genres. Oddballs is a memoir about my childhood and growing up. The Boy Who Couldn't Die is not science fiction or fantasy. It's more of a horror novel. I just write what happens to be interesting to me at the moment. My new book, The Last Universe, my editor also said, is more of a gothic than a science fiction. But basically, I write what's fun for me to write, because writing is so hard that if you're not writing something that you think is fun, you might as well forget it. So I write what I feel like.
Speaking of your first novel, what happened to your relationships with your friends when you used their names in the novel, Blackbriar?
I was quite lucky, because Blackbriar takes place in England. And although it is about a real place where I lived and my real landlady, and who I sort of say a lot of things about her that she would hate, the book was published in America, not England. And I never sent her a copy. And I don't think anybody in that book has read that book. And that was a big stroke of luck for me, because I think she would have been quite unhappy to hear what I had to say about her.
Okay, in your novels, Interstellar Pig and Parasite Pig, where did you get the idea for the character Abami, the crab?
First of all, I got the idea for crabs because the book is about parasites, and crabs are excellent hosts for parasites in real life. So I wanted to make a planet of crabs that love to eat human beings. And but I wanted it to be funny, too, because the first book, Interstellar Pig, is kind of funny. So I decided to make the house where they prepare the people to be eaten to be like a very, very luxurious spa where people go to have their hair done and stuff like that and get healthy. But what they're trying to do is fatten up the kids, like the witch and Hansel and Gretel. At the spa, there should be a host, and the host will be very genial and very friendly and try to make the kids very comfortable, even though he is preparing for them to be eaten. That's where I got his character.
His name
came from the fact that people I know in Thailand, when they try to say the word amoeba, they instead say Abami. So I thought, oh, that would be a good name for this character, like amoeba, but pronounced Abami. So that's where I got the character, and that's where I got the name.
One of our favorite novels here at this school is The Beasties. Will you write a sequel to The Beasties?
Thank you for liking that book, and thank you for liking it enough that you want a sequel to it. Many people have asked me if I will write a sequel to it. I don't think I will write a sequel to it, because to be honest, I don't know what happens next. And I like the idea, the lumber people who are cutting down the forest, will they cut down the forest, and will the beasties die out? And I want to leave that up in the air, because there's still a lot of things that are up in the air about nature and about what we're doing to the world and to the environment. And I think it's more effective if I just leave it a sort of a question mark. So, but I consider it a happy ending, because Fingers, the character Fingers, becomes the queen, and we know that she's a good person. So I think, and the kid also makes a sacrifice that helps the beasties. And so I think, all in all, to my mind, that's a happy ending and a satisfactory ending.
Mr. Slater, what do you do to relieve stress in your life?
I do several things to relieve stress in my life. Playing the piano just for the fun of it is a great big stress reliever. I also sometimes like to cook. But nowadays, now that I've built this house in rural Thailand next to the Cambodian border, I like to ride around in the countryside there. That's a big stress reliever, and especially going to these ancient Cambodian temples, which are really fantastic buildings, and a lot of them are still in good shape. And I love making expeditions to these buildings and just around the countryside there, which is very, it's like another planet, actually. It's full of rice fields and it's tropical and so on. So going there, and what we call in Thai, pai teo, that means just going out around for the fun of it. That's my main stress reliever at this point in my life.
You've written about 30 books. How long does it take you to finish a book when you're writing?
As I said to the classes that I talk to, it usually takes me about 2 or 3 months to write the first draft of a book, and then it takes me 9 more months to do the rewriting. I spend much more time rewriting. So I would say, on the average, I write about a book a year. Now, there are some writers, I will not mention their names, who write 15 books a year. I will never be able to do that, because it takes me a long time to go over and fix and fix and fix and correct a book, because I want it to be a perfect book. So that's why I don't make as much money as those people, but I think I do write better books. That's why it takes me a whole year for each book.
Besides the financial aspect, was your family supportive of you becoming a writer when you have such a talent as a music composer?
My mother and father did not want me to be a composer, and they did not want me to be a writer. My mother was a doctor, my father is a professor of physiology, and they believed that the only secure way to live was to go to college, go to graduate school, get a job at a university, get promoted, and become a professor. That's what they wanted me to do. They didn't want me to compose music or write books. And they did not approve of the fact that I was writing books until maybe I had published about 10 books. And then they finally came around and agreed that I was successful. But up until then, my mother was telling me every time I saw her, Stop this foolishness and go to graduate school and get a skill that you can support yourself with. So they didn't want me to do either thing. But now they're proud of me after I've been doing it for 30 years.
Mr. Slater, thank you for taking your time to interview with us today, and thank you for visiting us at Sam's.
Thank you for inviting me to Sam's and bringing me to China, which is very exciting for me, and I'm having a great time in the school. It's a wonderful school, and the students are great, and the teachers are great, and I'm having a great time here. So thank you very much.